Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I am Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Metcalf, doing good. Back to talk some basketball. No Ceilings family, welcome. We're getting excited. We got plans for the upcoming year. The gears are starting to turn again, Mr. Metcalf, and I'm getting really pumped for your tarot with you on the pod. How are we doing? How's everything going? How's the scouting grind going, sir? How are we feeling?
Fantastic. I missed it so much. And, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit in the Victor Wembanyama episode where it's like where we had to kind of knock the rust off. But, you know, just really starting to get back in the swing of things. So it's like, God, this feels good. This feels good. I need college basketball to start up ASAP. But I don't think they're going to give in to my demands. I think they're pretty firm in their schedule, unfortunately. I tried, folks. Sorry. But I'm really enjoying these, like these preseason scouting reports that we're doing on these guys and going back and going through these guys, FIBA and high school and EYBL tape. It's been a lot of fun. And I think it's going to put us in a really good spot going into this season.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the first year with doing No Ceilings with the whole crew, we were kind of spending all this time to get things running when it comes to like the site or the social media and YouTube and all the podcasts and fun stuff. And this year it's like, okay, we've got that. We've got some tricks up our sleeves that we're very excited for, but now it's like, we have this foundation. We get to focus kind of on more on the scouting grind and, you know, getting everything rolling. And it's been fun. I feel like this has been a nice little, not challenge, but like, this has been a nice test, or, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of like a preparation to get ready. And it is, I think you hit that perfectly. Like, I feel better prepared to really get after the grind. And I know it's just excitement and everything, but it's nice to get a feel for all these guys before we're going to see them with their next schools or overseas with their next teams. Really excited. I feel like the more I'm watching this class, the more I'm talking about it with you, there's a lot of talent. I mean, the hype is really building, and I'm really excited to keep watching a lot of these guys we're going to talk about in the next couple of weeks. And a lot of these returners, you're finding some guys as you're diving back into the tape that I'm getting pumped about. I mean, I'm really excited to talk hoops with you for, you know, pretty much ever. But yeah, where do you want to start, man? I mean, another great episode. I feel like we got scheduled. I'm pumped.
I'm excited for this one. So the last one we did was Derek Whitehead and Jairus Walker. That one was a lot of fun. We are both very high on those guys. I'm a little hesitant about this one. These were two guys who I thought were going to be a lot more fun to kind of dive into, and I came away a little underwhelmed. So I'm curious what your thoughts were, and if you can convince me one way or the other on them. But today we're talking about Keyonte George and Khalil Ware. Let's start off with Keyonte George, who is going to Baylor, 6'3", 185-pound shooting guard from IMG Academy. What are your kind of big picture thoughts on Keyonte?
Yeah. So, you know, going into this off season is always a fascinating time because some guys are playing overseas of FIBA and you're trying to keep an eye on the younger classes for upcoming years. And then Keyonte was starting to buzz, you know, Keyonte George is going to Baylor. Like you said, Keyonte was starting to buzz because he's playing Global Jam. He was really starting to heat up. Like, he was putting on some impressive performances, and I feel like a lot of people were paying attention and talking about him. And he started to become a darling of draft Twitter, I feel like. I was very impressed watching him in those games. He first caught my attention when I watched the Nike Hoop Summit. I was like, this guy is very smooth. I like how he plays the game. It looks like he could really shoot it from outside. I was getting pretty, you know, drunk in love. Shout out Beyonce. Beyonce is a huge Keyonte George fan. But being serious, like I was very intrigued because I was like, okay, it looks like there's some offensive upside. There looks like there's a good feel. I'm a sucker for the guys that play like at their speed, makes the game come down to them. But I'm excited to talk this one out with you because I've been very excited about him and watching his high school tape. I was a little like, you know, rattled, little not, you know, unsettled. I was just kind of a little shocked. And I kind of had to keep going back and forth. I'm like, okay, was it just the high school senior year or what's the difference? Because then you watch the Global Jam film, looks like a guy that's playing with two different levels of confidence. And it's going to be really fascinating to see what he does at Baylor. But what about you? I feel like you're a little bit more down than I am, but this is why I love doing these exercises with you, because, you know, help me help you. It's the best part about this.
Yeah. So my exposure to him is his like last 10 games of high school. So is at IMG going against Sunrise Christian, Montford, Legacy, Bishop Walsh, you know, that whole kind of conference. And I kind of get the intrigue, but he was so, he felt like watered down almost, where it's, you know, I've seen in like the No Ceilings chat, get a lot of guys are really high on him. I know Corey and Albert over at the Draft Deck podcast are really high on him too. I know coming into this episode, you were really high on him as well. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting a lot. So maybe it's just, you know, readjusting my expectations, but it's not that I disliked what I saw. I just didn't see, oh, this guy is like an all-star. I didn't see that in him. And when we came away when I came away from the Whitehead and Jairus Walker film, it's like, these guys could be all stars one day. And I just didn't get that vibe from him. I think the best place to start is with the scoring, and it was really impressive. I definitely buy the outside shot. I really liked how strong he was in the paint. I thought he finished through contact really well. He had a nice little mid-range pull-up where, you know, he's just attacks closeouts, takes two dribbles, knocks down a 18-footer, relatively easy. So long-term, I definitely buy the shot. I think the mechanics are really smooth, good touch, quick release. And then I thought his shot selection was really sound too. Mm-hmm. So overall, I really like the scoring. I think he could be a good starting shooting guard. The kind of lack of size worries me a little bit, but overall his scoring profile at all three levels, I thought was really impressive.
Yeah, that was the thing watching him. He really, like I said before, he caught my attention with the hoops on it. I was like, okay, who's this guy? This is a guy I need to watch more of. I started digging around on his film, like I just kind of checking out the Global Jam stuff. I was like, okay, he looks like he's got some swagger. He plays with some shiftiness. Like his handles really popped in the Global Jam. Now, I'm not trying to put too much weight on just one little tournament and went round robin, but I was just like, okay, he looks like he has confidence. He can score in bunches. He had a game there where he was just basically like single-handedly trying to carry them back. And this is why I love going back, is because you watched that tape in high school and there's a lot more questions than I thought. And I was the same way. Like I was pumping like, hey, I think this guy could sleep up, get up there in the top, you know, 5-7 picks conversation. And then, you know, this is why this class is going to be so awesome. It's because we just watched Whitehead and Jairus Walker. And I was like, oh my gosh, those guys are monsters. And then I go watch Keontae and I'm like, okay, I like his upside a lot, but there's a lot more questions when it comes to, you know, especially his defense, but offense, there's still some stuff I need to see. And we talked about in our last episode, you know, how we love Jairus Walker going to Houston. I love that Keontae's going to Baylor. I think that's going to have to be a place where if he's going to figure out a lot of his weaknesses and improve, Baylor's going to be a good spot for him because they usually get some dogs as defenders, and he's going to have to be able to lock up some people. But where do you want to start besides the offense? I mean, do you want to go into any specific area? Do you want to dive in the defense? I feel like you're foaming at the mouth to talk about the defense. I was watching a film and I was like, Metcalf's going to go on a rant. I can feel it.
Let's stay on the offense real quick. Yeah. Cause The scoring, I thought, again, was really impressive, but it was also almost all off-ball scoring.
Yes.
There was very little on-ball creation. The couple times when he did try to break guys down, again, this is exclusively what I saw with the IMG film, he really struggled to create much of any space. And, you know, there was one, I think it was against Montverde, I may be mistaken in mixing up games, but regardless, the possession, you know, he went between the legs twice, drove middle, crossed over, spun back to his left, you know, like really good handles, but the guy just was stayed with him and he ended up scoring through contact. But it's like, okay, you had less space then than when you first got the ball and you put yourself in a worse position. So it's not that he's a bad ball handler by any means. I just don't think he's that great of an athlete. I think his footwork, getting like into a shot and like getting his shot prep for like shooting off the catch and stuff like that is really impressive, but he doesn't really utilize it to create space on pull-ups or anything like that. So I was really expecting a lot more on ball creation from him in terms of scoring. And then just, there wasn't much passing. Like, I don't think he's a bad passer. There were two specifically where one was in transition where he just kind of threaded the needle on a bounce pass, and then another one where just touch pass to the baseline from the top of the key that was like, oh, that was nice, give me more of that. I don't think the ball sticks with him necessarily, but he's also not like passing guys open. Like, he'll keep it moving, which I think will be really important in that Baylor offense with, you know, they usually go three guards. And if they have, you know, him, Langston Love, and Adam Flagler out there, the ball's going to be whipping around the perimeter trying to find the, you know, the open shot. So I think he'll be able to fit into that. But I'm kind of hoping that that pushes some of these passing flashes that we saw. You know, I'm hoping that that style drags it out of him a little more and we see a little more consistency in that realm.
Yeah, completely agree. I feel like, going into, you know, starting to get my preparation for the upcoming year, I was reading about him and a lot of people were thinking like, okay, he's got to really work on his handles and his defense. And you're starting to get a vibe for everyone. And I like to read that stuff to kind of see like, do I agree? Mm-hmm. And seeing Global Jam, like, you know, he averaged 22 a game in five games, but, you know, his shooting splits were 39, 36, 81% from the line, but 3.6 turnovers, like you're saying, like only three assists a game. In that, he showed some handles and some quick in and outs in those games that I watched. But then you go back and watch high school and I was like, oh, whoa, this is a way different story. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work that needs to be done handling the ball. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, down talk the competition at Global Jam, but like, he's going in high school against some of the top recruits in the country every night. Right. And like you said, that Montverde game. So like he is a good shooter that looks like he's got the ability to really light it up, but he's going to have to use his hesitations and he's going to have to create a little bit more wiggle. Like you said, he's not a crazy quick athlete, but I think he right now is trying to use his body, his frame to outmuscle people. And it's like, he's going to have to learn how to do both.
Right.
But there's a lot of good stuff. It's mm-hmm. just, I watched that high school film and I was like, okay, like maybe there's a little bit more we got to kind of wait and see. And you never know. This could be like, okay, well, in high school, he looked like he was struggling and he had a really strong summer. Maybe he's had this moment of working on his game and figuring it out. But definitely have some more questions now that I've done the deep dive. And that's why we do it, boys and girls, because you got to get the full slate.
Yeah, and like, and I think he's a really strong player. And yeah. you see that when he attacks the rim. Like, he's not afraid of contact. Like, he's willing to go into a shot blocker's chest and, you know, kind of negate their shot blocking ability and then finish over, you know, their outstretched arms. And he does that pretty regularly, which is encouraging. I think just like when I think about him creating his own shot, like in the mid-range or something, I wish he would use that strength a little more where he would kind of get into his defender, you know, lower the shoulder, then take a step back and then knock down the jumper and, you know, utilize his strength a little better instead of trying to be this flashy ball handler and create space like Trey Mann, because he just doesn't have that footwork or flexibility, at least right now. So he kind of reminded me a lot of like Malik Monk, where he's kind of this smaller shooting guard, almost primarily off-ball scoring, can get hot in a hurry and really explosive. But he's just kind of like a little stockier Malik Monk, and at least that's the vibe I got from him.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, watching the funny thing was we talked about like Whitehead in the last pod that we did, and they'll have some similarities where they're both like the physical guys that are not afraid to get downhill. But the difference is, you know, 1.66 with a little bit of bounce, 1.64 on a good day, it looks like, you know, Whitehead reportedly has like a +3/+4 wingspan. I might be wrong. George doesn't look like he's going to have a +3 wingspan. He looks a little like his arm's short, but hey, I haven't seen him in person. But it's going to be interesting with him, because I think you really got to start, if you're not going to beat everyone with your explosiveness all the time, now you got to figure out the in and outs. He showed a lot more of that development that we just saw, like playing this summer, but doing it there. And, you know, we always say doing it FIBA, doing it in college, two different worlds. And maybe that's the skill that he's getting confident about and developing. But also, like, Baylor's going to be a good team again. You have to be able to understand he's probably not just going to get the ball always and just be like, hey, it's your show, go do it. Because they got a lot of talent on that team. So he's got upside. Like, that's what me and you talk about. Like, we want to see with these high school kids, if you have the basic foundation. He's got the foundation to be an offensive weapon. But now it's, what other areas can he unlock? What other areas can he take strides with?
Do you have any concerns over the size, and or do you think that eventually he can kind of pivot into more of a, you know, quote unquote point guard instead of shooting guard?
I don't know if I see the point guard yet. I think he's going to have to. It's funny you asked that, because I was watching him and I was like, okay, he's a little bit bigger body. And I was like, does he need to tone up, or does he just need to like build, like, you know, like the doughy, just get, like, I hate get body like
the Eric Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. Like, I'm not, I always give Albert crap, because Albert used to say doughy to describe a prospect. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the best term ever. But, and now I always want to use it, but he just looks like it's like, okay, do you need to become like added muscle, like the Corey Maggette's, or do you just need to get a little slimmer, a little quicker? It'll be interesting, but I think he's going to have to play off the ball. You see him 6'3 places, you see him 6'4 places. I'm like, okay, I have a feeling that could be an unfavorable combine one day, but I hope I'm wrong. But what about you?
I hate going back to the trope of, oh, well, if you can put him with a jumbo initiator, because all of those jumbo initiators are like MVP candidates. So it's like, yeah, no shit. If you put anyone with them, they're going to have a better career than if they don't play with them. But, you know, and thinking about him playing next to like a Josh Giddey type, like a bigger point guard, a LaMelo Ball, where defensively they can kind of switch positions almost, then – or play the inverse of what they're doing on offense. But I think he's going to be a two guard, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. I just think it may kind of limit the overall lineup versatility that teams will be afforded with him.
Yeah. I think he's going to get 5 million Bradley Beal comparisons, just because Beal was 6'3", 207. He went to Florida. He played 1 year there. He averaged 14, 6'2" on shooting splits of 44, 33, 76. So a lot of people are going to try to hammer that home. But it's also like Bradley is, I was like, Bradley was a shifty dude. So, I mean, he's going to have to really take some strides to get on that level. But I see it. It's just going to see, like, okay, if he worked on his craft and really, you know, zoned in, I could see it. But I just got a lot of questions, and he needs to have the light switch. I know we're going to talk about it, but he needs to have the light switch come on defensively, because I had a lot of questions watching, and I was like, oh boy, all right, here we go.
Let's dive into it. What were some of the questions that came up for you?
I wanted to talk about this with you, because I feel like I love getting specific areas. I feel like he just, he feels like if you put the ball down against him, he's going to be fine.
Yep.
But if you run him off screens, he's going to be in Freddy Krueger's dreams. So, yes. I mean, I was just watching and I was like, oh boy, I feel like Grady Dick was the first game I watched where I was like, oh gosh, he's literally running you off everything. And then I think I watched the Montverde game and Whitehead took him off the dribble and he was just like, I have the strength to stay with you. So if you try to outmuscle me, I can hold my ground. And I was like, okay, that's promising, but every college is going to tell, just run him off screens. And I don't know if it's like he just completely lost, or, you know, how we talked on the Whitehead episode of it's kind of that senioritis. I don't know. Like, what did you think?
I hate that we're agreeing so much because I have the exact same thing.
This makes me feel like I'm better with my evaluating this year. See what I don't have to evaluate or get shit rolling. I could just scout.
Yeah, so I'm like, when he defended in like isolation, I thought he competed. I thought his footwork generally looked good. He had the strength to kind of knock guys off their line. If a screen was introduced, he was dead in the water. I think I saw him, you know, successfully navigate like one pick and roll out of like eight games. His off ball defense, I thought, was pretty atrocious. He constantly did the thing where he would look over his shoulder and then realize his guy was not where he was 5 seconds ago and like frantically look around and then scramble to recover. That happened, you know, every other possession almost. I did think it was really interesting. I'm glad that you mentioned the Grady Dick Sunrise Christian game because it was really interesting. Like at the start of that game, he was kind of out there playing, you know, normal team defense where you're switching screens, you're communicating, you're tagging, you're rotating, you're doing all that stuff. And he was a disaster. It was awful. And then it's like the second quarter, I'm guessing the coach just told him, just focus on, just stay with him. Don't worry about switching. Don't worry about, you know, doing any of that stuff. Just stay with him. Try and deny the ball. If he catches it, fine, but be there. And when he had like that very specific assignment, he looked a lot better and he was chasing them off screens. He wasn't ball watching. He was just focused on his assignment. And it's like, oh, okay, now you're defending again. But then later in the game, you know, it goes back to normal team defense where he's not just locked in on one person and there's a disaster again. So it's like, oh God. So like, what is this? Is this someone who just isn't trying off ball or just really just doesn't get it and doesn't understand where the rotations need to be and like where guys are moving on the backside?
Yeah, that's the biggest area, because like you said, when he could face up and go one-on-one and you try to take him off the bounds, like he's gonna compete, he looks like he's gonna hold his own, but he's got to get someone in his ear to be like, okay, we got to figure this out when it comes to like screens and stuff, or else. And that's what I'm saying, like going to play for Scott Drew at Baylor might be the best thing for him because, you know, he's going to be putting guys on the court that can give opposing backcourts nightmares. And if Keyonte can't figure it out, he's going to be like, all right, I got other guys that will take care of it. But that's also not trying to just down talk this kid like Keyonte George.
No.
But we're all like, this is the exciting parts where like, oh, figures that out in the first couple months of college, like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Yes. This is going to be really quick turn to like, okay, I'll buy into that. But if both areas were like a disaster, I would have been like, oh man, yes. I don't know. But like one at least looks good. And I think he's just got to figure out the, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It was just fascinating watching because I was like, oh gosh, they're just running him off everything in the world. Right. And then sometimes he just looked like, where am I? But he competes and he looks like he's going to be tough. Like he's going to work at it. He might just need the coaching staff to be like, we're going to figure this out. We don't care how long this takes.
Yeah. And I think that was the biggest thing where it's like, God, you kind of suck at defense, but you're trying. Like this isn't a lack of effort thing. You're not just being lazy. You're not just getting beat off the dribble every time. Like he was trying, and you know, maybe that's less encouraging for some people, but I think it's more encouraging because it's like, you know, it shows that there's a player there who wants to be able to defend. Like he's not just being like, ah, fuck it, I suck. Who cares? I'll go knock down a three next possession anyway. So who cares? It was just a lack of awareness. And I don't know how easy that is to kind of teach or, you know, improve on, at least in a year. But I can't think of many places better than Baylor to go do that. And exactly. Especially with some of the experienced guards that they have there who have played with, you know, Butler and Davion in the past, like Adam Flagler, he's going to be able to learn, and he's going to have to learn quickly because he's going to be going up against some nasty competition this year and some really smart coaches who are going to exploit that. And if he can't figure it out, it'll be interesting. But I'm encouraged that he can, because A, the effort was there, and B, the on-ball defense, you know, at least one-on-one, the footwork, the balance, the strength, the instincts, reaction time, all of that stuff, I thought was generally positive. So I think there's at least, you know, an average defender in there. He's just got to figure out his ability to kind of read the floor and multitask off ball.
Yeah, he's got to figure out offensively the ins and outs of being a shooter, which is always like, okay, if you could shoot, then now you got to figure out how to create your shot. If you mm-hmm. don't, you're not an explosive athlete, you can't just go bombs away all the time. And then defensively, like you're saying, he's just got to figure out how to be an average defender. But it's like you said, he's gonna have Flagler alongside him. Your boy Langston Love's gonna be there this year. Like, they're gonna have some talent in that backcourt. They're gonna have some dogs. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch. This is why I love doing this early, is because now we're finding areas of, like, I'm writing scouting reports. I'm like, I would love to see this. I'd love to see this. Let's see if it happens in a couple months. Let's see how it develops. And you, like we've said a couple episodes ago on the Victor one, it's like, you want to do your checkups. You want to check mm-hmm. in on each prospect and see how they're doing. And now we got an off season of, you know, instead of pulling our hair out and just looking at a countdown, we're like, all right, let's get to work. Let's start getting a vibe for everyone. And I'm excited about Keyonte, but I think watching his high school film made me get a little bit more educated, which is supposed to do, on kind of his strengths and weaknesses. And he's one of those guys I have circled. I still believe there's a heck of a basketball player. Yes. That, like, just because I'm saying, like, before I was thinking top five or throwing that number around, it's like, I still think he'd be a top 10 pick. I still mm-hmm. think he has that kind of ability to, all of a sudden, if he goes ninth, you're like, ooh, that's a nice little scoop there, because he can score a lot. But if he takes strides in these game or these areas that we're talking about, he can go a little higher.
Absolutely. Someone else who, you know, I think has some strides to take in some certain areas is Khalil Ware, the 7-foot center going to Oregon. What were your thoughts with him?
I'm really interested to talk him, especially with you, because as most No Ceilings family should know, we love you, first of all. Second of all, me and you always go kind of a little crazy about talking about bigs.
Yeah.
But where got my attention, I believe it was the McDonald's All-American game. I was like, who the heck is this dude?
He's really just impressive.
Yeah. I was like, he is big as shit. And he was just like, was making plays everywhere, and I was really, really impressed. And then as an Arizona fan, then I find out he's going to Oregon, and I was like, son of a, I got to deal with this guy this year. But watching his film, because it's tough watching the FIBA stuff from the summer, because they just beat everyone by 60 or 70 points. And I was like, okay, well, that's not awesome. He's just dunking everything. And then I watched his high school film. I'm intrigued. I'm excited to talk this out with you, because I have kind of a weird feeling of, I know why people are going to be cold on him, but I want to hear what you're thinking. So hit me with yours. What did you think?
So it wouldn't surprise me if he has some of the best, like, highlight tapes on YouTube. Like, if you Google all of these guys' highlight tapes, I bet his would be one of the most fun.
The Kai Jones experience? You're thinking this is a candidate for the Kai Jones Award?
Kai Jones and Jackson Hayes were... I got a lot of those vibes.
Went both into Texas, by the way.
They, yeah. Well, see why we're diversifying. one of the things that you and I always talk about with bigs is when you're uber athletic and just so fucking big, and mm-hmm. no one comes close to you in size, how do you play? Do you play solely because you're just that much bigger and more athletic than everyone, or do you have different stuff to go to? I didn't get the sense that he had different stuff to go to, and that the vast majority of his success and dominance was purely because he was 6 to 12 inches taller than everyone else guarding him.
Yeah, he's going to the right conference to prove himself. Yeah. You know, shout out Nathan Grubel, who's like, oh, Pac-12 is finally getting some respectable recruits. And I was like, watch your mouth, Nathan. This is Pac-12. We were bringing the heat every year. But I actually agree with Nathan. Like, now they're getting some big-time guys. I'm excited to watch Pac-12 this year. But where's going to be a guy I'm really interested to go see in person, because I had the same reaction you did. I was watching him and I was like, oh boy, is he just the bigger than everyone and blocking everyone? And then I kept watching and I was like, I've seen some people say he's got an inconsistent motor. And I was like, okay, I see what people are saying. But then I was like, this is going to sound so weird, but hey, I feel like I say that once an episode, so we're on track. He seems like he has those quick bursts in short areas. Mm-hmm. Where it's like he's runs the floor like getting back after like a made bucket, and I swear he looks like he's like a 1980s like big man just kind of like lumbering down the court. And then I feel like when he gets the ball in the paint, or he just has those quick bursts in short limited spaces. So I'm like, is he just strategic, or with his like, okay, I'll turn it on when I have to, or is it an inconsistent motor, or is it being slow? I saw some good timing and some anticipation on, you know, his shot blocking, but I don't want to go all over the place. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I just am like you. I'm like, is it just an effect of being bigger and lengthier than everyone? Because he's huge.
Yeah,
he's humongous. Like, he's got vines for arms and he's big and he can jump quick. So yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what else you thought about him.
Yeah, and I never got the bad motor aspect of him. I just don't think he's as agile as we kind of expect. Someone who's, you know, he's a leaner center. He's huge, but he's, you know, leaner, and he's springy as shit. And I think that combination usually tends to suggest that a guy's more agile and can move on the perimeter a little more, can move, you know, has that wing mobility like we saw from, you know, Evan Mobley. Not saying he's Evan Mobley, I'm just talking about the mobility stuff. And he doesn't have that. He's kind of slow. He's not really agile. He plays kind of stiff, but his springiness is super impressive. And it's, you know, like you said, it's real quick, really quick off the floor. And I think his second jump was pretty impressive too. So vertically, I like him a lot. It's the lateral stuff that I really worry about, especially defensively. Offensively, I think he's a legit day one, you know, vertical spacer, really good lob threat. Didn't see him do much in like the pick and roll, but a lot of, you know, ducking in from the dunker spot. And he really wants to shoot. I don't think the shot looks bad. I'm not sure it looks good. But he wants to be a shooter, and there were some games where it was falling, and it was like, oh, okay, this is awesome. Like, you look really good. And then others where it wasn't. It was like, what are you doing? So I kind of have mixed feelings on the shot. Where are you at with his outside shooting?
The shot got my attention, and then I was like, oh, no, is this fool's gold? Like, I was like, are we teasing the idea of it? Is it a desire that he's like, oh, I could do this? And I'm like, I don't know, because, like, he gets the ball around the paint. He looks like he's got some quickness to be like, have footwork. Like, there's some good tools and potential and foundation that I was like, okay, someone might be able to work with this, to give him a little bit of like he had a couple like turn around, back up, and like kind of turn around his body over his right shoulder and lay it up. And I was like, that's nice. Someone needs to teach him a little like hook. I was like, gosh, I just wish someone would commit, be like, please just do the Kareem hook, please. Someone buy into it.
He went to it a lot, just like the one kind of pound dribble over, and, you know, drop step over his left shoulder, and just like the you know, little right-handed half hook. He went to that like 90% of the time he was in the post, and he was like, "Yeah, your touch is kind of rough on that." And I didn't get why, because like on the shot, I didn't think his touch looked that bad,
right?
But then he's 5 feet away, and it's like just fucking chucking it off the rim. I'm like, "What are you doing?"
I know. It's frustrating because I'm like, did he just realize like, oh, I'm bigger and lengthier than everyone, so I don't need to be doing this? And I think that's probably where it's at. But like, the shot from outside looks solid. I just don't know if I'm there yet to be like, okay, I hope he's, you know, taking two a game. Like, I don't know. I think he's gonna be a lob threat that's got defensive potential that I'm gonna be like battling all year. I'm gonna be like, do I want him to play and declare as a sophomore, or do I want to? I don't know. But there's definitely some intriguing stuff. And I just think when you look at him right away, guys like Kai Jones and the Jackson Hayes, everyone's going to look at him and be like, oh, he's probably going to run the floor like a deer and just dunk everything away. And he's like, no, he's more of kind of like this lumbering big that's more and better in quick spaces. Because in transition, I never saw him like, wow me, like, oh gosh, he can beat everyone up the court. No, I don't think he's never be that
first
way.
One up the floor.
Yeah, he's not gonna be like that. He's gonna have to be like he's gonna have to battle. Like, he needs to be physical in the paint, especially with the Pac-12. Like, there's gonna be some guys really going crazy. But he's interesting. He's definitely one of those you're gonna want to pay attention of. I don't know if I'm thinking he's gonna just all of a sudden trend upwards, or if I think maybe someone's rolling the dice on a developmental project towards the end of the first round. And I mean, it's the end of August. We're just having fun here. It's not like I'm taking this to heart, but what about you? What else you got?
Yeah. So we got to talk about his defense. I have mixed feelings. Shocker. I know.
I don't want you to just hammer me. What, go on a little vent here. What's Metcalf think? What's Dr. Metcalf think about Ware's defense?
I thought he was a solid shot blocker at the rim. I also thought that he jumped at a lot and went after a lot. I thought he kind of struggled and looked pretty rough in space. It felt like he played like really narrow, stiff, and upright, where, you know, he's not really getting in a defensive stance when he's going out to guard the pick and roll. He's just kind of there and in the way. And his positioning and ability to kind of recover wasn't always the greatest. And since he played so narrow, it wasn't super hard for guards to kind of turn the corner on him. So, you know, it felt like he had never put the time in or got the coaching to really develop defensive fundamentals and make him a really sound positional defender. And it's kind of similar to the offense, where it's like, I'm just so much fucking bigger and more athletic and springier than everyone else. Like, I don't need to, because I'm still going to get 5 blocks a game in Arkansas high school basketball. So I worry about him kind of getting exposed against Pac-12 guards. But it also still wouldn't surprise me if he gets 4 blocks a game.
It's funny with these guys, because a lot of people will, as evaluators, will be like, don't take too much into the McDonald's game or the Hoop Summit games. And I'm also one of those guys of like, if you watch and players like this look like they just have an extra fire under them, it's like they might want to prove of something of like, hey, I'm playing against the guys that are getting all the love, all the spotlight. I want to show that I can hang with them. And in those games, he was just, I mean, I think it was the McDonald's one especially, but
yeah,
he was like, whoa, who is this dude? Like, and that's where I'm going to be interested to see, because, like, you know, it's the high school tape. Me and you have talked about it before. High school tape's dangerous, because you start getting like, oh, is this what he is? And all of a sudden, some guys just look like completely different players when they get to the next level. And I think where I even had heard, like, he was doing really good in the practices going up to that. I don't know. I remember hearing some buzz about him. So I don't know. He's just one of those. I like that he's going to Oregon. He's going to be playing against some talent in that conference. Like, there's some bigs all over the place that are going to be battling with him. And he's definitely one that you got to pay attention to, because we know how NBA teams feel about bigs. And if someone's looking for a big with his skill set, he's going to be very intriguing.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you keep mentioning the McDonald's All-American game, because he looked so much better in that than like the high school film and even
It wasn't even close. It was unbelievable. Yeah, like it was like, whoa, go ahead.
And like I know it's like, oh, it's an all-star game, but like he looked like he belonged. And the other ones, the level of competition was tiers below what it was in the McDonald's All-American game. I know a lot of those guys are just kind of going through the motions, and but they're still looking to show out because they're going against the best of the best and the peers that they grew up playing against. Like they want some bragging rights. They want some, you know, there's a lot of ego that goes into those games. So the fact that he showed up and like looked like he belonged and looked a lot better in that setting, still really encourages me that there is a lot more versatility and defensive ability there with him. And a lot of this kind of nonchalantness with his offense and defense in high school is just because, hey, we're up by 35 and the opposing center is 6'5". So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Because I like the springiness, the size, there's a lot to work with there. And I not trying to come across as super pessimistic, because I do think there's a really good player there. I just think he's a lot more raw than some of the hype and highlight videos and stuff may suggest.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not a one and done. And I'm not trying to downplay Ware's ability or talent or potential. I'm just saying I could see him being a guy that's like the Pac-12's kind of a big jump going against some of these guys. And it's like, okay, he just needs to have another year of working on his craft and maybe he declares as a sophomore. Maybe he's still a lottery pick after I'm saying this. There's everywhere in between. Like we said, it's August 29th. Like we're talking crazy right now. We're having fun. But I don't know. I mean, he's intriguing because, you know, you look back at that McDonald's game, and I know, like, we're not crazy about box scores for an all-star game, basically. But, like, 10, but I swear he was just all over the place.
Yeah.
Making an impact and hustle plays, and he was a force. And I'm going to be fascinated. I really do think, like, when I found out he was going to Oregon, I was like, that's going to be a fun player to watch going up against that. And, you know, USC is going to have some talent. Arizona is going to have some talent. UCLA, obviously, there's going to be some really good teams in that conference. So excited to see what he can do, but I'm not there yet. I watched his film and I was like, I get it. I get the intrigue.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be physical and kind of play with his hair on fire. And I could see him being a kind of a roller coaster all year, just being kind of like, oh, it was a good game. He kind of disappeared. He had a great game. And like you said, Metcalf, it wouldn't surprise me if all of a sudden he's like, oh, he's averaging 3.5 blocks a game in his first like month of the season. I'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. I understand it.
Yeah. And I think he's going to be more of a developmental project. And, you know, that's not a bad thing.
No, we love when
guys take their time. I would much rather a guy take an extra year to develop in college and be more ready for the pros than get to training camp and the team immediately be like, oh, he doesn't have it. Cause that happens a lot. And then a lot of those times, those guys end up being screwed. Yes. And like, I'm just going up, I think even just going up against someone the size of Nfali Dante every day in practice at Oregon is going to do wonders for him, because, you know, I'm not trying to crap all over Arkansas high school basketball here, but just the size difference with him and literally everyone else that he played, it was so significant. And there's just only so much that you can really develop in that setting. So I think he's taking a really big jump in competition and physicality and athleticism. And I just can't imagine that doing anything but good for his long-term development.
Yeah. It really is the tough part about like those just giants in high school. Cause I'm just kind of like, I get it. We talked about this in the last draft cycle, like getting prepared for the season with Jalen Duren. We're like, we get it. He's the Incredible Hulk in high school. He's dunking on everyone. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's built like he's 26 and he's playing against 17 and 18 year olds. Like at some point you're like, I get it. Now let's see what you can do at the next level. And, you know, Ware, Derek Lively, even like you watch the tape quickly and you're like, okay, I get it. He's bigger and he dunks on people. I need to see you take the next step. And before I get too, you know, before I'm pushing my poker chips in the middle of the table, but really intrigued with his skill set. It's just funny because that's the, like this time of the year, you're starting to get a kind of a painting. You're painting a picture for what it's like, okay, who could be the wild cards? And I think this episode, I went into this when you told me like who you got wanted to do. And I went into this one, I'm like, okay, these could be the fun ones. And then after watching the film, I was like, these might be the wild cards that I'm not realizing, because either one of these guys could really climb in a hurry or kind of go a little bit lower than I'm expecting, you know, right now. But they both have intriguing skill sets that teams are usually high on, that guys can climb up some boards, but we'll see what they can do. There's still a lot of raw spots.
All right. Well, we updated the green room last episode, and we currently have three members: Victor, Derek, and Juris Walker. Let's start with Keontae. Again, just because we're talking about these guys does not mean they're automatically in. So, Keontae George, what are you thinking?
Oh boy, this is where, see, now this is going to get tough as we go throughout all these guys, because I'm going to be like, oh man, we're adding people. We're going to have to start throwing guys out. I know what you're doing. I'll say Keontae's in for now, but the bouncers are watching him.
Bouncers are watching. I have him sitting in his car out on the curb waiting for valet to come take his keys.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we need, yep. I had a feeling you're going to be a little colder on him, but I get it. I completely get it.
Do you want to fight for him? Do you want to, are you conceding?
No, because I'm going through a lot of my names, my database, and I'm like, yeah, he's going to be creating some buzz. I really like Keontae. The defensive film, I think he's going to figure it out, but I'm not. Oh, gosh. See, this is where I'm getting dangerous. For everyone that's going to call me out for my tweet where I was like, Keontae George, top five, delete app, throw a phone in the ocean. It's like, when I say delete app, I would never delete Twitter. So, no, I'm kind of sarcastic. But I don't know, because I have questions about him defensively. There's also some other guys we're going to talk about. I have questions with a lot of their games. In his car still is a bit brutal, Metcalf. I feel like he's at least trying to get it.
He's out front. Like he didn't walk off the bus and is waiting in the rain. Like he's just waiting for the poor valet to come take his ride from him.
I feel like he's at least in line and he's trying to figure out, do I get bottle service so I don't have to wait in line anymore? Yeah. Okay, fine. We'll say, all right, I'll let you slide on that one. Because I do feel like we're going to get down the list a little bit and be arguing about some of these guys. But I am going through a lot of names. And I'm like, oh boy, there's some talent all over the place. What do you think about Ware?
It's going to be a no for me.
Car broke down on the way. I like him. I can't buy it. I mean, we're talking about guys.
No,
we got 60 days or something. Yeah.
I need to see more consistency and against better competition. So I'm not ruling out either of these guys climbing in by our final version. But right now, he's a ways away from the club.
I got to say no about some people, and you know, I hate to do it because I'm Mr. Positive, but that's my first no.
Well, and we can't let everyone in. It's called exclusive for a reason. So,
yeah. What else you got? Who have you been watching? Let's just spitball for a little bit. We're having fun here. We'll call it Out of Bounds. This is my new segment I want to do, is called Out of Bounds. And you can talk about anything not basketball related. It could be fun. You know how you did Hot Take and you ruined Predator, which was absurd.
No, it's a fraud.
We'll do Out of Bounds, so it could be about anything in life. Anything.
Have you watched on Hulu The Old Man?
No, what is it?
It's incredible. It's Jeff Bridges is like a former CIA spy, basically. It's incredible. I got one episode left, but
isn't that the plot of Taken? No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. We like to have fun here.
It's awesome. It's like 45-minute episodes on Hulu. Highly recommend. I do have a question for you, though.
Okay.
I haven't asked about the puppy in a while. So tell the people how little Murphy's doing. How's being a dog dad?
Murphy's he's good. For everyone listening, he's been pretty good. For anyone that has never had a puppy, let me just educate you on what life's like. So he sleeps for 2 hours and then screams at the top of his lungs, like, "Hey, I have to go to the bathroom. Someone let me out, or it's gonna get weird in here." So that's fun. Usually around 4 a.m., I just throw in the towel and I'm like, "All right, I'm up. Let's watch some film." So it's been great because he's kind of like my alarm clock now. He just went to the vet today, and never seen someone more disappointed coming out of the vet for the first time. Like, he just looked at me and he's like, "I trusted you. We had a bond. That bond is gone." So I'm going to have to repair some of those feelings tonight. But he's okay. He's healthy. Everyone's been calling him fat, and the vet told me he's actually great weight. They said, "Whatever you're doing, he's perfect weight." So I'm very proud of that. But yeah, he's good. He's doing good. Not a lot of sleep. I'm counting down the days until he's, you know, going to be sleeping a little bit longer, because I'd like to watch film in the morning with some peace. But he's a pretty good distraction. So yeah. Metcalf's been great for everyone listening, because he has a dog too that's a little older, but he's been giving me a little bit of guidance, some good energy. But yeah, so far so good. I had one last question for you, a little out of bounds topic. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. I just coughed.
Great use of the mute button.
I'm getting pretty good at it. Ever since the Apple review we got on Apple Podcasts, if someone said, "Please stop with the mouse clicks. I'm about to put my head through a wall." I was like, "I want to hang out with that guy. If you're listening, I love you." So Murphy, this all relevant. Murphy had to get his first shots today. Mm-hmm. But the other day I had a wasp fly into my house, and you know, Murphy hasn't had a shot. So I was terrified. So I was like, "Cool, I have to risk my life for my puppy." I wanted to ask you, what are you afraid of? Because, you know, I have to quote anyone that hasn't seen The Replacements. So a real man admits his fears. You know, Keanu Reeves, a.k.a. Shane Falco, talks about quicksand. And some of the guys talk about, like, bees and spiders on the field. Metcalf, what is your fear? Because I think bees and spiders are right up there for me. So a real man admits his fears. Also, water sharks. I've seen Jaws too many times.
I would say, like, spiders and centipedes are definitely right at the top of the list. Things with too many legs that scurry across walls and ceilings and floors, not a fan of. But I think that's kind of come down a little bit since with all this home living and having to just get paper towel and smush them and kill them. So if they're just stationary on the wall, I can deal with it. If one scampers across my foot, I let out a scream that rivals, you know, a 12-year-old girl. So just don't touch me with them, and I'm good. Otherwise, clowns are horrifying.
Oh gosh! So it is your favorite movie?
Whoever. Oh my! I get crap for that all the time from you know, my loving and adoring friends. Who want nothing but the best for me. I did end up watching it. Really good movie, but I watched it on like a Saturday at noon when it was sunny and 80 degrees out. And, you know, it's horrifying. Whoever invented clowns deserves to go straight to hell.
I will tell, I'll embarrass myself. Here we go. When I was like six, I watched by myself in like 10 o'clock at night, Child's Play with Chucky, and literally had nightmares for about 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? There's my secret, folks. So, and now I think it's absolutely hilarious, but I was like, that pretty much ruined my life for a good, you know, if I ever went to a psychiatrist, they'd be like, where do you want to start? And I'd be like, well, have you seen Child's Play? I feel like that's a good place to start. Now I think it's hilarious, but yeah. So I get it. I get clowns, yeah. You know, dolls, get it. Oh, get it all.
Nope. Dolls are horrifying. Yeah. I just generally can't do scary movies because I'm a coward. So yeah.
Scary movies, Michael K. Gilchrist's jump shot. It's all there.
Yeah. God, it's awful.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. That's what I want to do with Out of Bounds. We could talk about anything. Maybe one day it's about cooking. Anthony Edwards' new haircut. Your thoughts?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Well, he just got like the, I feel like he's like buzzed it. It looks, I don't know. I think
he's a charismatic stud, so he can rock whatever he wants and he's going to look good.
I think him and Scotty Barnes are going to just have unreal seasons. I'm so excited to watch those two. I think Anthony's going to take his game to another level. I think Scotty Barnes is about to really open some eyes around the league. Shout out Rico Hines film. We appreciate those runs. But yeah, Metcalf, that's all I got for you. I'm
love it.
Just excited. We're back, baby.
Look at us coming in under an hour for the first time, probably.
Yeah.
Ever, so.
You know, come on, folks.
Rucker, tell the people where they can find you, where they can support you.
NoCeilingsNBA.com. I'm getting pretty pumped. I got the itch to write something coming up soon, but we got some stuff going on behind the scenes. I promise we're going to announce everything. We've been working our butts off. When we're quiet, we're dangerous. Metcalf, what do you got going on? Anything coming up soon? Or are you just, you know? Oh, yeah. I feel like you have a big event in life, maybe.
Yeah, just a wedding.
Shout out the future Mrs. Metcalf. Thank you.
Yeah. She's put in an incredible amount of work. She's the real MVP.
There you go.
So I'm getting I'm kind of getting the itch to write. There are a couple guys that I want to write about and like topics that I know I want to write about. And then, you know, I look at my calendar. It's like, oh, you have zero time ever. So, you know, those might be pushed back a couple weeks, but I promise I'll get there. I promise there'll be words out eventually. But once again, I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me on Twitter at TeamMetcalf11. You can find all of our merchandise at NoCeilingsNBA.BigCartel.com. And you can find all of our written work at NoCeilingsNBA.com. It's 100% free. Just click that subscribe button to make sure that you never miss anything that we publish. You can follow us on Twitter at NoCeilingsNBA and on YouTube at NoCeilingsTV. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Until next time, see you.